right. Glad to have everyone here today for Team Topics. If you could find your seat, we're going to open in prayer and turn it over to Brother Josh Webster. He's going to be speaking to us today. Hope you're having a great time at camp. Everybody enjoying yourself? All right. Let's go ahead and pray. Brother Josh, you make your way up here. Dear Lord, we love you. We're so thankful for the word that we've heard so far at this camp. I pray that you would continue to speak to us. I pray in this service today that we would be receptive to you as your word is applied to our lives. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Brother Josh.
Thank you, Brother Goodwin. Well, glory to God. Are you glad to be at Truth Camp? Praise the Lord. I've thoroughly enjoyed myself thus far. It has been a wonderful time thus far. The Spirit of the Lord that was here last night, just a wonderful outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And that's what we need in the day and the hour that we live. So good to be here, and I'll try not to bait ado here. We've on a limited time schedule, so I'm going to get right in. Matter of fact, while I'm yakking here, you can turn with me if you want to the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. But just appreciate the opportunity to be here and to speak to you this for a little while this afternoon. And then, Lord being our helper, we're going to try to preach tomorrow morning and just pray God helps us. It's just good to be back. I was here last year and then preached the retreat in the fall and then preached the retreat in the spring. I figured by now that y'all would be sick and tired of me. But for some reason, they let me come back again. It's cost me, I had to pay them a lot of money to let me come back. So y'all act like you like me, okay? At least make me feel good, even if you don't. I'm just kidding. I just appreciate this fellowship of men and churches that are here. Just wonderful people. I'm going to try to talk to you for a little bit here out of Ephesians chapter 6. Now, there's just one problem. I am a preacher, and they've asked me to teach. Now, some guys are really talented and really blessed. They can do that really well. Brother Andrew Goodwin is one of the best I know. He can get up and just preach a masterpiece, and then he can get up and teach and just make you sit back in awe of his teaching ability. No, I'm being serious. I'm not. He's back there laughing. He thinks I'm making fun of him. I'm really not. He's really great. I love hearing him teach. But I'm just not like that. I can't do that. I try to preach, but I sure can't teach. So it may turn into preachify, teachify here before it's over. I'm going to try to keep it to a minimum. But if it does, just please forgive me. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to begin reading in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Listen here. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now let's read that portion again. Hear what it's saying. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You're not fighting one another. You're not fighting your brother. You're not fighting your sister. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Now, if you weren't in a battle, why would you need an armor? Take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, listen, which is the word of God. Okay, careful notice here to this last phrase. Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance, supplication for all saints. Okay, he said, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So we are commanded to take the Word of God. The very next phrase is to pray always with all prayer and supplication. So we've been given, we have been commissioned to take the Word of God and to pray always. All right, 2 Corinthians 10:3, you don't have to turn there, I'm going to read to you. Basically reinstates the passage I just read. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds with all prayer. There it is again. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now after, you can be seated if you'd like. After reading those two passages, there's not a question in any of our minds that we are in a battle. We've just read two passages to you that say we don't wrestle, we don't war against flesh and blood. We are fighting demonic spirits, strongholds, principalities, spiritual warfare. Did you know that you're in a battle here? If you didn't, let me be the first to tell you. There's a spiritual realm out there that would like to destroy you. But I want you to notice here. Now, Brother Don Goodwin talked to me and told me to kind of talk a little bit along the lines of maintaining what you get at Truth Camp. Keeping what you get at Truth Camp. Keeping the victory. Keeping your hold on what God gives you. Now, I was telling somebody, I said, I'm the only way I really know how to keep what God gives me, it's real simple. It's real cut and dried. It's very profound. Are you ready for this? This is just going to blow your mind. Read the Bible and pray. Ain't that deep? That's just deep. That's just very simple, but that's how I think. The best way that I can tell you how to maintain what you get is to read, to pray, and repeat. Pray, read, and repeat. The moment you begin to deviate from that, it's very simple, but you begin to deviate from that, you begin to do what I call to be distracted. Now, there's three points I want to bring out to you real quickly, and then I'm not going to hold you very long. But if you have something that you love, that you want, and I have a desire to take it from you. If Brother Hudson had a $100 bill in his hand, and obviously he would want to keep that $100 bill, I had a desire to take it. If I reached in and tried to take it and he wants to keep it, guess what? There incurs a struggle. It's a battle for what he has and for what I want. So this week, God is going to help you. God has already helped some of you. God's already blessed some of you. Some of you, God's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. There may be some of you, God's going to call you to preach. God's going to put a special anointing on your life. God's going to bless you in many, many ways. We know that the devil doesn't want you to have that. He doesn't want you to get anything from God. He cannot stop you from receiving from God. But when you do receive from God, when you leave here next week, this weekend, possibly by Saturday morning, the devil is going to do everything he can to take away what God has given. Now, you have two choices. You can just, come here, brother, for just a minute. You right there. Yeah, yes, sir. Come here. Close your hand. You pretend there's a $100 bill in there. If I had $100, I'd just let you hold it, but I don't. Now, you have been blessed with this great blessing, this great anointing, this whatever God has put in you. Saturday, next week, at some point or time, the devil's going to come and try to take it. Now, you have two choices. You can either open your hand and allow him without a struggle to take what God's given, and you're left standing empty. You're left standing without anything that God, the devil has stripped you and taken everything from you. Or when the devil comes against you, close your hand. When the devil comes against you to take what God has given, you can fight. Go ahead, pull your hand away. Pull. Do you want to keep this? Do you want to keep this money? Well, then act like you do. Pull. Pull harder. And there incurs a struggle. The enemy cannot take from you what you do not allow him to take. Okay? He can lie to you. He can bluff you. He can do anything in the world, but he cannot take from you what you are not willing to let him take. The question is, how bad do you want to fight to keep what God gives you? Are you willing to do whatever you need to do to keep what God gives you? You got to come to grips in your mind that what God gives you is worth more than anything else in this world. You've got to come to grips in your mind that the calling that God has placed on your life is worth more than money, worth more than gold, worth more than popularity. You've got to come to grips in your mind that when God fills you with the Holy Ghost, that anointing that God has put on you, you've got to come to grips that come hell or high water, I will die before I give up what God has given me. Now, most of you, some of you may know what the NRA is, the National Rifle Association. Charlton Heston, he's dead and gone now, but he was the president of the National Rifle Association. And he made a statement one time that is famous across at least the country that I know of for sure, and maybe the world. But he said, if they want to come for my guns, he said, they'll have to pry them from my cold, dead hands. What he was saying was, if they want to come and try, y'all are smiling, y'all like that, don't you? I just thought about that. That's a good one, huh? Charlton Heston said, they want my guns, they can come for them. But he said, before I open my hand and give them to them, they'll have to kill me, take my life, and pry it from, I'm already feeling like preaching, I got to be careful. You got to pry it from my hands. So when you leave here, you're going to have to make up in your mind that before I give up what God has given me, they're going to have to kill me. Before the devil takes the anointing that God has placed on my life, he'll have to pry it from my cold, dead hands. Come hell or high water, I refuse to let go of what God has given me. If I got to fight all night, if I've got to fight all day, if I've got to push the plate away and fast for a week, fast whatever it takes before I give up what God has given me, what is mine by right. You see, he is your father. Your father in heaven, that is your dad. When your daddy owns something, do you ask your dad, Brother Cherry, do you ask him when you want to go get in the fridge? When you want a soda, do you go ask your dad if you can have one if it's in the fridge? You just go in and take it, don't you? Because it's your daddy's. And whatever your daddy has paid for belongs to you. You don't call me and ask me if you can have a soda in your own refrigerator. You don't call me and ask me if you can cook a hamburger on your own stove. What your daddy has paid for is yours by right. And I'm going to tell you here today, what God has already paid for and what God has already given is yours by right. And when the devil comes in and tries to take it, he is an intruder. He's coming in unaware, trying to steal. I don't know what y'all do out here in Texas with thieves, but where I'm from, you come break in my house, you're going to meet me, Smith & Wesson, and Ruger in both hands. You can't fight the devil with Smith & Wesson and Ruger, but you can't fight him with the word of God. You can't fight him with prayer. You can't fight him with the blood. Brother, they'll have to pry it from my cold, dead hands before I give up what God has given me.
I got to hurry. Dear God, I told you I wasn't no good at teaching. The first thing you've got to do, I got to hurry through this. I only got about 10 minutes left, is set your affections. Brother Bailey talked about it this morning. I feel like God gave me this about 1:30 this morning. Very simple. 3 points. Number one, set your affection. When you set your affection, you know where you are going. See, if all you ever do is follow mom and daddy's coattail, you'll never have any direction if mom and daddy aren't there. But when you set your affection, the Bible says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. When you set your affections, you set your focus. You set your eyes in a particular direction, okay? When your eyes are set in a particular direction, you give no room. This is the main point I want to talk to you about. You give no room for distraction. Distraction is a big thing in a lot of people's lives. It's a big thing in all of our lives. It's very easy to get distracted. It's very easy to lose our focus. But in order to maintain what you get, number one, you're going to have to keep your focus and set your affection on what is at hand and not allow yourself to get distracted. Now, one thing, I'm going to touch on this, and we're going to go on. God, everybody here knows that I'm not an authoritarian, obviously, on marriage, because I'm not married. But one big distraction in a lot of people's lives is relationships. It's very easy to get distracted in a relationship. Now, I'm going to touch on this. We're going to brush over it, and we're going to go on. But I'm going to tell you something here today. If your relationship causes you to forsake worship,
to forsake Bible study, to forsake church meetings, or to forsake church, to forsake personal devotion, to forsake evangelism or outreach. I'm going to tell you, I don't care what his or her name is, if it causes you to forsake these things, it is not of God. Period. Black, white, period. No question mark, no room for wiggle. If it causes you, if you have felt yourself being pulled away because of this relationship from God, from personal devotion, from prayer, from church, I don't care how cute he is, girls, or how handsome, or whatever, or how pretty, it don't make any difference. If you allow that relationship to pull you away, it is not from God. Samson, speaking of distractions, Samson was called to be great. Samson was anointed. Samson was going to be the deliverer of Israel. But the great downfall of Samson is when you read in the book of Judges, it says, and Samson went down to Timnath, and there he saw a woman of the Philistines. That was the start of the great downfall of the man we know as Samson. It didn't start with destruction knocking on the door. It didn't start by being stooped over a bar stool. It didn't start with fornication. It started when Samson was distracted. You see, Samson never had no business going in Timnath. Samson had no business going to the land of the Philistines. But it started when he took one step in the wrong direction because he allowed himself to get distracted from his calling, distracted from what his purpose was, distracted from what God had actually birthed him for. And it started when he saw, when he was distracted of a woman of Timnath. And then the very end of the story, you see Samson grinding at the mill, his eyes plucked out, just a skeleton of the man that he used to be. And it took him from the great warrior that he was all the way down to grinding at the mill of the enemy, destroyed at the hand of the enemy, because it started with a distraction. Don't allow yourself to get distracted. Set your affections. Number two, set aside the weights. You've got your affections set. You've got your focus. You've got your goal. You're maintaining. You're doing what you can. Now set aside. The Bible says, let us lay aside every weight and sin which does so easily beset us. Set aside the weight. Notice the scripture. Let us lay aside the weight and sin. There is two distinctions made between weights and sin. We all know what sin is. Sin is disobedience and rebellion against the word of God. Weights is the thing that will slow you down until sin catches up to you. Now, a weight in itself will not necessarily send you to hell, but a weight in itself can slow you down until other things in your life can get a hold of you and can take place in your heart and can take place in your life, and those things can cause you and send you to hell. But he said, let us lay aside every weight and sin. I'm going to tell you here. Well, you say, what is a weight? A weight is anything that competes with the will of God. A weight is anything that will cause you to compromise the will of God. A weight is anything that will cause you to lose focus on the will of God. I don't care what it is. It could be, there's people that are in love with their own body and they love going to the gym. There's nothing wrong with lifting weights. There's nothing wrong. But you can make anything in your life a weight. And if a weight causes you to compromise the will of God, then it can turn into a sin. If a weight causes you to compromise the purpose of God in your life, it can turn into a sin. I'm going to tell you here today, not only do you have to set your affections, but you have to set aside the weights and the sin. Anything that will hinder the moving of God in your life is a weight or a sin. You don't have time to get into all that. The differences, what may be a weight to you could be a sin to someone else. What could be a sin to them and their personal life could be a weight to you. Now, there's principal convictions. The principal conviction is the word of God. The principles, the foundation of the very word of God itself. There are principal convictions and there are personal convictions. We don't have time to get into all that. There are principles. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not lie. All those are principal convictions. Nobody has to tell you you need to be convicted of lying. It's in the Bible. Well, bless God, I've not been convicted. If it's in the word of God, whether you're convicted of it or not, it's a principal conviction and a doctrine of the word of God. There's principal convictions and I know I'm talking fast. I'm trying to get through this. And there's personal convictions. Now, what could be a principal or a personal conviction and a personal sin to someone may be a weight to you. It doesn't necessarily mean it's a sin to you. But if it slows you down and causes you to compromise the will and the purpose of God in your life, it needs to be set aside. Now remember, stay with me. We're talking about maintaining what we get, laying hold and keeping a hold of what we get. First point, set your affections. Don't get distracted. Lay aside and set aside the weight and the sin. Anything causes you to compromise can be a weight or a sin and hinder the move of God in your life. The third point, we have set your affections, set aside the weights and sin. The third point is stand firm and do not change. Now, how many here by the raising of hand believe in the Holy Ghost? I think that pretty much takes in all of us. How many believes in the evidence of speaking in other tongues? Good. That's what I thought you'd say. How many believes in holiness? All right. Let me see. Let's see here. Let me see. Do you believe in the Holy Ghost? Huh? So you know what you believe. I'm not going to hit you. Don't worry. You look scared today. Come here. I want you to stand up real quick. What's your name? Where are you from? Who's your church? Who's your pastor? All right, good. You believe in the Holy Ghost. You believe in speaking in tongues. Say, you know what you believe. Okay. Why do you
believe? Because that's what I've been taught, and that's just...
Okay, wait. Did you hear what she said?
That first phrase, say it loud.
That's what I've been taught.
That's what I've been taught. Now, I'm just picking on you because you happen to be sitting here. It don't matter who it was, because that's what I've been taught. Do you believe in holiness?
Why?
Because I've had personal convictions put upon me by my God that I have prayed to, and He has spoken to me and given me these convictions
okay,
in my life.
That's a good answer. My point is this. She said, I believe in the Holy Ghost. Why? Because that's what I've been taught. Most of you, I could come through here and come through with personal or different principle doctrines, ask you what you believe, and you could tell me what you believe. Do you believe in the Holy Ghost? Yes. But then I ask you, why do you believe it? And a lot of you are going to respond with, that's what I've been told. That's what my pastor preaches. That's what I've been taught. But I'm going to tell you here today, in order for you to be able to stand firm, the third point, and what I'm fixing to close with, in order for you to be able to stand firm and hold what you have, you must go beyond knowing what you believe, but you must know why you believe it. Because if you know what you believe, but you don't know why you believe it, the enemy can come in and place seeds of doubt and cause you to question. And later on in your life, the enemy can tell you, why do you dress this way, young lady? Why can't you dress like the rest of the world? Why can't you go to this place? Why can't you do this? And if you are not firmly planted and standing on not only what you believe, but why you believe it, the enemy will cause you to question what you believe. And when he brings doubt and seeds of question, my friend, it will bring into fruition compromise. Okay? Genesis chapter 3. The enemy come in the form of a serpent. God had just told Adam and Eve, thou shalt not eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Every other tree you can eat of, but of this tree you cannot eat of. The enemy comes in the form of a serpent. Notice what he asked Eve. Has God really said you cannot eat of this fruit? In the form of a, what did the devil do? He just undermined the spoken word of God, and he placed a seed of doubt and question in the mind of Eve. Now God just spoke, do not eat of this fruit. But then he come right behind him and undermined the spoken word and the conviction of God. And what it did, what the enemy will do is later on in your life, mark it down, it will happen, and a lot of you probably already has. He'll come to you and say, do you really have to live like this? Now, so-and-so down the street, they go to a good church. They seem to be Christians. They don't dress like we do. They don't live like we do. They seem to have a good church. They seem to have a move of God. They seem to have the Holy Ghost. Ask, do you really have to dress like this? Do you really have to live like this? Do you really have to be that separated, that dedicated, that consecrated? And he comes in and begins to undermine the spoken word of God. He begins to undermine the principal convictions in the word of God and placing seeds of question that will birth compromise in your life. My friend, I'm going to tell you, you will never maintain the river of God flowing through you as long as there are principal compromises in your life. You will never maintain and stay at the place that you want to stay as long as there is compromise in your, I don't care how long your sleeves are, I don't care how long the dress is, I don't care how long the hair is, if you have compromise in your heart, you will never be anointed like you want. You'll never have the move of God that you want. You'll never have the power of the Holy Ghost that you would like to have if there are seeds of compromise hidden in your heart. So what do you do? How do you combat that? I'm going to tell you how you combat that. Then I'm done. We're going to close this thing out. But how you combat that is not only knowing what you believe, but why you believe it. Standing firm. I have set my affection, I have set aside the weights, and I am standing firm on what I believe. Not only what I believe, but why I believe it. Now, I didn't even get to my scripture in Ephesians, but he said, praying always with all perseverance. I told you at the beginning, one key is prayer. Pray, 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 pray. I know people don't want to hear that because the flesh doesn't like to pray. The flesh doesn't kneel down and like to take time to pray. But I'm going to tell you here, one key to maintaining, probably one of the most vital keys in maintaining what you have and what God has given you is to pray. With all perseverance. That means all the time. Stay on your knees. You need a life dedicated unto prayer. Did you hear me? This thing of 1 5-minute prayer and then you don't pray for another, 7 days, that ain't going to cut it. To maintain what you have, you must have a life dedicated and committed to prayer. Then he said also in that scripture, he said, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Prayer and the word of God. This is very basic, isn't it? Very principle, isn't it? I'm sorry if it's boring to you. I'm almost finished. But prayer and the word of God is essential in maintaining what you have. Not only believing and knowing what you believe, but knowing why you believe it. You'll never know why you believe something until you pick the Word of God up and study it out and read it and find it for yourself. You know, some of you ladies, you have a certain particular standard. You wear dresses and that's all you wear. I could come to somebody, don't have time, not going to do it. I ask you, do you believe in wearing dresses? Yes. Why do you believe it? Well, that's what my pastor preaches. That's the way I've been taught. That's the way I've been raised. Is there anybody that's caught in the book and studied it out for themselves? Because there's going to come one day when daddy ain't there, when pastor ain't there, when mama's not there, and the devil's going to come in the form of a sly serpent and say, has God really said that you've got to live like this? Are you with me here? Am I making any sense to you? But if you not only know what you believe, but why you believe it, you can look the devil in the eye and say, yes, God has said that I will live like this. Book, chapter, verse, it is in the unadulterated, unchanging, written word of God. Not only do I know why I believe what I believe, I know what I believe and why I believe it. It leaves no room for compromise. I got one story. I'm done. Some of you know B.H. Clendenin. Brother, I'm over my time, ain't I? Give me 5 minutes and I'm finished. Some of you have heard of B.H. Clendenin. He told the story when he joined the Marines. He said, when I went and joined the Marines, I went and signed up. He said, that sergeant that signed me up at the recruiting office, he said, he's a nice guy. He patted me on the back, shook my hand. He said, I signed my name on the dotted line to join the Marines. He said, that guy shook my hand and said, son, it's good to have you in the Marines. We're proud that you signed with the Marines. He said, I went sometime later, got on the bus. He said, I went over to boot camp. He said, when I got off the bus, he said, that drill sergeant was there. He said, buddy, the Marines were no longer friendly. They were no longer happy to see me. They were no longer patting me on the back. He said, that drill sergeant got in my face, told me to stand up straight. He said, boy, your mama birthed you. Your daddy raised you. But he said, now you belong to me. And he said, he told me every waking minute when to get up. He told me when to lay down. He told me when to shower. He told me when I could eat. He told me when to give him push-ups. He told me when to do jumping jacks. He said, every waking moment. He said, he called me every name but a white man. He called me every name but my own. He said, he invented bad words. He said, I think he might have wrote the book on him. He said, one of the meanest men I had ever met in my life. He said, constantly barking orders. 3 o'clock in the morning, get up out of bed. Give me 50 push-ups. Drop down and give me 100. Make you run miles in the rain and the mud. Constantly barking orders and screaming in my face. He said, you wonder, sometimes you wonder why they got to be so mean, why they got to bark so many orders. And he said, you'll never fully understand it, never fully understood it. He said, until the day that he said we finished boot camp and we was got on a plane and flew overseas. And he said, we got on a boat and we were on our way to the beach. I believe it was of Normandy. He said, there we were, soldiers on the top of that boat approaching the beachfront. And he said, there we weren't knowing that the Japanese, the enemy, was there in that area. And he said, as we approached the beachfront on that boat, he said, I heard the commanding officer give the command to hit the deck. He said, everybody in that boat that questioned the command of the commanding officer, he said, was shot by the enemy, brother. He said, I learned right then that a command that is given is not to be questioned. He said, you realize right then that the commands that God has given you in his word, it's not because God is trying to micromanage your life, but every word of the word of God from Genesis to Revelation is for the saving of your own soul. Not to be questioned, not to be compromised. I've seen them compromise it because we don't think it's necessary. I've seen people question the command because they didn't think it was necessary. And because they questioned it, they lost their marriage. Because they questioned it, their children backslid. Because they questioned it, preachers have backslid and living like the devil today. I'm going to tell you something here, and I'm finished right now, I promise. But the word of God is not given because God had nothing better to do than to move you around like a pawn on a chessboard. He didn't write that and give us this book because he had nothing better to do and he wants to micromanage our life. Every word of it, every word from the front to the back is given for the saving and the preserving of your soul. It is not to be questioned. It is not to be compromised. It is not to be changed. It is for the preservation and the saving of your own soul. I'm sorry I held you a little too long here today. I know this probably wasn't much like teaching, but I've done my best. I hope you receive something out of it. Set your affections, set aside the weights, and stand firm on what you believe and why you believe it. Thank you.